Hello, friends, and welcome to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope this message will equip, encourage, and edify you in your journey of life. We'd love to connect with you. Please email us at info@coastlinecc.org. And for more information about our church and our services, visit coastlinecc.org. Now let's open our hearts and open God's Word. John chapter 3, let's jump right into the sermon today. We're in John 3, and look down at verse 30. John 3 and verse 30 says this. This is John the Baptist talking here in John 3. And he says, "He must increase, but I must decrease. He must increase, but I must decrease." We're going to talk about that verse. The sermon today is taken right from the passage, and it's called, "I Believe That He Must Increase, But I Must Decrease." Let's pray and ask God to bless this sermon. We'll jump right in. Father God, we love you. We thank you. Bless these people. Bless the kids' class. Bless our time together. We thank you for all you've done so far. Use me. Speak to me. Calm my nerves. Help me to speak from my heart, but only the words that you want me to say. I plead the blood of Christ over these people, and I speak the name of Jesus over this room. Do what only you can do. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I have a question this morning for you. I want you to really ponder it. Who is really in control of your life right now? God or you? Okay, think about that question. Who is really in control of your life right now? Is it God or is it you? And that's not just a church question, a churchy question. That's a directional question, because every one of us in the room, no matter how long you've been saved, no matter how long you've been in church or not in church, every one of us is going somewhere. We are headed in a direction. Every decision, every attitude, every priority, it's leading us either closer to God's purpose or closer to our pride and our way. We live in a culture, we live in a society that says, you do you. You know, follow your heart. Build your brand. Make it happen. And I'm all for hard work and dedication. I'm all for that. But we live in a culture that is very self-centered. You don't need anybody but you. But John the Baptist here in John 3 stands up and says something radical. And radical is the word, is the adjective to describe John the Baptist. He said in John 3:30, he said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." That's not a slogan. That's surrender. It's not about losing yourself in a negative way, but it's about finding your true self when you let Jesus take the lead. John the Baptist was born. His job, his mission in life from God was to prepare the way for the Messiah, Jesus Christ. So when John saw Jesus as he was baptizing, that's why he was called John the Baptizer, John the Baptist, he saw Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." John the Baptist had been preparing his whole ministry for the Messiah to come, and he was pretty well known. His ministry was exploding. He had followers. He had baptisms. He had attention. He was trending before trending was even a thing. He was popular. And then Jesus shows up, the Messiah, the Son of God, who was God, and John's crowd starts to leave him to follow Jesus. And John doesn't say, "Hey, wait, what about all the work?" No, John says, "That's the point. That's why I came." And maybe that's the word for you, for someone today. You have been fighting to keep control in your life. You have been fighting to make things happen and doing everything in your power to get to a certain place or to make a certain amount of money or to fix this, whatever it may be. You are fighting to keep control, fighting to keep your plans, your opinions, your comfort, fill in the blank. And God is saying, "Hey, I know that's not working out for you, but you're not losing ground. You're making room for me." We sing that song in worship, "I will make room for you to do whatever you want to." And for some of you today, man, you are trying your best to juggle a million things and control everything in your life, and it's not working out. And you're like, man, I'm just falling apart. And God's like, no, you're not falling apart. Your life is falling into place. You're making room for me. This message this morning is for every person, whether you're old or young, a teenager, a parent, a business leader, retired, because if you want the peace and power of God in your life, you have to let Him take the lead. You have to let Jesus take the lead. He must increase, but I must decrease. 3 points today, and we'll be through. Number one is this: it's what God wants, not what I want. It's what God wants, not what I want. John understood that life isn't about personal preference, it's about divine purpose. He didn't say he may increase, but if it fits my schedule, if it fits my budget. No. He said he must increase, making big of God, making Christ big in my life. He must increase because you can't be full of you and full of God at the same time. He must increase and I must decrease. Not what I want, but what God wants. Isaiah 55:8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thought." That verse in Isaiah reminds us God's will isn't always logical, but it's always loving. Sometimes what God wants won't make sense in the moment for us. And believe you me, I've been there. I've lived in that space where what God is doing doesn't really fit my narrative. It doesn't really fit the story that I've written. It doesn't really fit in the box that I've created. When God tells me to forgive someone who hurt me, or let's flip it around. When God calls you to forgive someone who's hurt you, when God calls you to give when you don't have much to give, when God calls you to wait when you're ready to move, oh, that's a tough one, isn't it? When God calls you to stay when you feel like walking away. God's will, God's call doesn't always make sense in the moment, but God's will will always lead to something better than you wanted. Oh, I'm going to say it again. God's will always lead you to something better than what you wanted. My kid says, "Dad, you know, we just had Halloween trick-or-treating. Dad, can I have a bag of Skittles? And dinner is almost done." You think I'm going to say yes, man? No way, dude. No. Because I know that something better's coming. It's on the way. Hey, I love Skittles just as much as the next guy. But I'd sure rather have a roast chicken with potatoes. Amen? Amen. Thank you for that. Amen. That's good. Yes. Listen, the parent that says no, they're not being mean. They just know something better is coming. And that's how God works. Sometimes His no in our lives, and I've had the Lord say no in my life and answer no to my prayers, but sometimes His no is actually making room for a greater yes. We have to trust Him. Ask yourself, am I fighting for what I want, or am I submitting to what God wants? Am I fighting for control to have what I want, or am I submitting to what God wants? We need to pray this prayer, as dangerous as it can be. Lord, even if it's not what I want, help me to want what You want. Help me to desire what You desire for my life. I've prayed that prayer before. The scripture says in Psalm, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He will give thee the desires of thine heart." And I believe that verse to mean not, hey, if I just delight myself in God and make Him happy, then I get whatever I want. No, I believe that when I'm delighting myself in God, I'm getting to know Jesus, I'm walking in the Spirit, not fulfilling the lust of the flesh, and I'm walking with God, I'm going to want the things that He wants. So you start walking with God, hey, that desire for pornography, that desire to fulfill an addiction is going to slowly start to wane. Hey, the enemy will attack. He will tempt. But when you delight yourself in God, when you give your heart to Jesus, when you start focusing on Him and increasing Him and decreasing you, you're going to start to want what He wants. You know what He wants for your life? Peace. He wants freedom for your life. That's how Jesus prayed in Gethsemane. Jesus in the garden said, "Not my will, but thine be done." Listen, when you surrender your desires to God, God, whatever you want, I want. When you surrender your desires to God, you don't lose your life, you find it. You find it. What God wants, not what I want. What God wants, not what I want. Next, point number two, what God says, not what I say. What God says, not what I say. Listen, we live in a world full of opinions, but not all opinions are truth. Remember that. Everyone's got something to say. Social media has created this. Everybody's a broadcaster. Everybody's a critic. Everybody's a theologian. Man, there's so many things out there. It's what God says, not what I say. John reminds us in John 3, it's not about what I say. It's about what he says. The next verse in John 3, verse 30 says, yes, he must increase, but I must decrease. Verse 31, John said, he that cometh from heaven is above all. In other words, John is saying, my voice isn't the authority. No. His is, Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Listen, when we lead with our opinions, with what we say, when we lead with our opinions, we walk in darkness. But when we lead with the word of God, when we walk with the word of God and let this be the authority, we walk in light. Our words, your words can discourage you, but God's words can deliver you. Your words might describe the problem, but God's word declares the promise. When you say, I can't handle this, there's too much going on, there's too much in life, I can't. God's word says, my grace is sufficient for you. It's enough. When you say, I'm all alone, there's nobody here for me, everybody's abandoned me, God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. When you say, this is just impossible, there's no way, it's impossible, God says, with God, with me, all things are possible. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness when he was fasting for 40 days. He didn't argue with the enemy. No, he quoted scripture to the enemy, to the devil. He didn't say what he felt. He said what his father said. And that's how you fight back when your emotions are loud. You speak what God has spoken. That's why you need to be people of the word. That's why we as Christians, as disciples of Christ, need to be children of God that love the word of God, that learn the word of God, that memorize the word of God and carry scriptures in our hearts. Because when the days get dark, and they will, we need something to lean on. And our opinions will not last. Hey, and even the kind word of a friend might be nice, but it doesn't change our lives. It's the word of God that changes lives. What God says, not what I say. So start replacing your self-talk with scripture talk. Before you react, before you post on your phone, before you panic, pause and ask yourself, is this what I say or what God says? Let the word of God correct you. Let the word of God direct you. Let the word of God protect you. God's word, this living word of God, changes lives. Listen, we have to get to a point in our Christian life when this is it. This is it. For centuries and beyond, people have been fighting to destroy this book. People were burned at the stake, gave their lives for this book. People have been arrested and executed for this book. You think the Bible's under attack? Now more than ever, my friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to treat that book, the book, as the final authority. Listen, when what I want and what I say goes against what that book says, guess what? That book wins. This book wins. Hey, when culture and society says one thing and God's word says another, hey, this book wins. Hey, when the world and culture and society say this is what gender is and this is what marriage is and this is what life is, hey, I go back to the book, and what the book says is right. Not what I think. Hey, not what I feel. It's this book every time. I don't care all the reasons why, the excuses why. If this book goes against what my heart feels, my heart is deceitful and wicked above all things. Who can know? Because my heart is wrong. Follow your heart's the worst advice we could ever give anybody. How about follow the Word of God? Follow the Word of God. And listen, I'll clap with you if I didn't have full hands, but guess what? There's many times I'll say that. Hey, I'll say, well, the Word of God, it's king, it's authority. But sometimes my heart and my actions and my mind feel a different way. And the Scriptures remind me, hey, Donald, you're not right there. And I'm like, really? I want to be, but I'm not. It's what God says, not what I say. It's what God says, not what you say. Can I get even deeper here? It's what God says, not what the community says. It's what God says. It's what God commands. Not even sometimes what our parents think. Isn't that tough? See, but that's... Jesus said, hey, leave your father and mother and let the dead bury their dead and on and on. He wasn't saying don't care about your family when he said that in the New Testament. No, he's saying, I'm in charge. God is above all. God and his word is the final authority. Like it or lump it, that's the bottom line. You can either choose to follow or not. But I'll tell you this much, as a church here at Coastline, my heart and my mission, it's about the Word of God, not my opinion. I hope I've done a good job in preaching that. And when I preach that, it's not just what I think. No, it's what the Bible says. When God's Word goes against anything I think or feel, God's Word wins. There's an old hymn we used to sing growing up. And it was called Standing on the Promises of God. Standing on the Promises of Christ, my King. Through eternal ages, let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Stand, and we'd sit there as a little family, me and my sister and brother, and my parents, and our little suits and ties, and we'd sing, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Because listen, you cannot stand strong if you're standing on your feelings. They will fail you. You got to stand on what God has said. It's what God says, not what I say. And lastly is this, point number three. It's where God leads, not where is comfortable for me. Following God will always take you out of your comfort zone. Following God, being a disciple of Christ, will always take you out of your little comfort zone. And can we admit that comfort zones are pretty comfortable? They feel good. Nice and warm, nice and snuggly. But following God, he said, hey, take up your cross and follow me. Following God, following Christ will always take you out of your comfort zone because comfort keeps you contained. But calling requires courage. And it's time, it's high time we stepped out of that comfort zone and followed God. Abraham in the Old Testament left his home without a map. He didn't know where God was leading him. Moses left the palace of Egypt for the wilderness. Peter left the safety of the boat to walk on water. John the Baptist even lost his freedom for standing for truth. And in the end, lost his literal head, was beheaded for standing for truth. Every move of God, listen, every move of God starts with a moment of discomfort. Think about that, church. Every move of God in a church in your life starts with a moment of discomfort. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine understanding in all thy ways, in all thy ways, in all thy ways. Acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Sometimes, listen, God's direction doesn't come with details. He says, go, but he doesn't say where. He says, trust me, but he doesn't show you how it's going to end. Because faith isn't following instructions, it's trusting the instructor. That's what faith is. It's where God leads, not where it's comfortable for me. God's path doesn't always look practical. Ask the church planter. It doesn't always look practical, but it's always purposeful. Listen, you might be in a season right now in your life. Think about this, church. Hey, listen, we're almost through. You might be in a season where you don't understand the route that he's taking you. You don't get it. How can this be part of your plan, God? How can this be part of your perfect will, God? It doesn't seem that perfect to me. You might be in a season, you just don't get what God's doing. But if you'll follow where he leads, you'll find blessings you never would have found in your comfort zone. Believe it, church. I'm telling you, if you will just follow where God is leading, you'll find blessings you never would have found in your comfort zone. Listen, you take out your phone and go to Apple Maps, put in some directions. It's not going to give you the whole map at once. It gives you the next turn. Take a right in 0.5 miles. That's what it does. God leads the same way. He doesn't show you every single step. He'll show you the next one. And your job is not to understand the route, but is to trust the voice. It's where God leads. He must increase. I must decrease. It's where God leads, not where it's comfortable for me. Maybe God is calling you to step into something new. We got member class we're doing, and people are joining the church. It's awesome. You've been here a while, some of you. Maybe God's calling you to serve in ministry. Maybe God is calling you to share your faith with someone at work or family, and you're kind of hesitant about it. Maybe God is calling you to forgive someone. Hey, maybe God is calling you to move forward from your past. It may not be comfortable, but it's always transformational because your comfort zone is where you are in control. You are in control in your comfort zone, but your calling is where God is in control. And if you'll let him lead, if you'll let God lead, even when it's scary, even when it doesn't make sense, you'll discover peace, you'll discover purpose, you'll discover power that you never knew that you could have. It's where God leads, not where it's comfortable for me. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him all the way. I'll go with him through the valley. I'll go with him through the valley. I'll go with him through the valley. I'll go with him all the way. John's words in John 3 were not words of defeat. You know, oh, I'm going to lower myself. And it wasn't words of defeat. It was words of freedom. He must increase, but I must decrease. Because when you make yourself smaller and your wants and your what you say smaller, God shows himself greater. When you surrender your pride, you make room for his power. When you let go of control, you grab hold of peace. And this world that we live in, this society that we live in, is obsessed with being seen, getting clicks. And God's inviting you, my friend, to shrink your ego, to shrink you so he can expand your impact in the lives of people that you'll come into contact with. When God increases in your life, your anxiety decreases, your confusion decreases, your fear decreases, your selfishness decreases. Hey, he must increase, but I must decrease. And in all that empty space that you've given him, his joy, his peace, his love, and his direction fill you up. He must increase and I must decrease. Listen, let God be big in your life this week. Make him bigger than your plans. Make him bigger than your feelings. Make him bigger than your fears. Pray, Lord, increase in my home. Lord, increase in my heart. Lord, increase in my habits. Increase in my priorities. Because when you increase, everything else finds the rightful place. When God becomes everything. Your vision. There's an old song, "Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of My Heart." When God becomes your vision, your voice, your direction, you don't lose control. When God becomes everything and you kind of let go, you don't lose control. You finally give it to the one who already knows where you're going. He must increase, but I must decrease. I mentioned it this morning in my membership class, growing up in church. And I grew up in a small, independent, fundamental Baptist church in Westfield, Massachusetts, Pioneer Valley Baptist Church. And we had church all the time, man. Church was life, man. It was just, if I wasn't at the church for service, we had Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Don't forget choir practice. We had Tuesday night service because we were different, man. We weren't doing Wednesday. We were doing Tuesday night service. And we had Saturday soul winning. And if we weren't, then we were there Saturday night cleaning the church. I mean, we were church, 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 church. And guess what? As a kid, I loved it. It's all I knew. I didn't know anything else. And we had chairs just like this, but they were a blue color with blue carpet, lots of blue. And we go to church every time the doors were open. Dress up nice, shirts and ties. And at the end of every service, we had chairs just like this with little hymnals in the little things. And we had 400 or 500 hymns in the hymnal. And we sang those. And my family, who's with my wife, we grew up together in different churches. But then we were the same. We know all the song. We could take this old hymnal from the 50s, soul-stirring songs and hymns. Okay? You'd probably have never heard of that one, ever. Soul-stirring songs and hymns. And we would sing all the, a lot of the songs that I was just singing a moment ago. And at the end of every service, and by the way, there was no iPad. There wasn't even iPads back then anyway. We just had the pastor's wife, Mrs. Cleveland, Miss Rosemary Cleveland, would come up to an old upright piano, and she'd play the piano for the hymns, and we'd sing Standing in the Promises, and we'd sing Victory in Jesus, and we'd sing at the cross where I first saw the light, and all these different hymns. And at the end of every sermon that her husband would preach, Pastor Cleveland, who was my pastor growing up, we'd have an invitation time like we do. And we'd have the pastor would talk and ask a question or two. And then he'd open up the altar, kind of like we do once in a while. This was every week for them, though. And people would come to the altars and make decisions for God. And it was a special time. And I don't regret any of it. But during the invitation, the piano player, his wife, would play 5 or 6 songs. Once, it would be like the same group of songs. And she'd play one of them. And songs like I Surrender All and Softly and Tenderly Jesus is Calling. But there was one that she'd play, and it was in every church I grew up in, and you might recognize it, you might not, but it goes right with the sermon. And I just want to sing a chorus. It brings me back to standing in my little pew with my family during invitation. And I'd be standing there with a hymnal and trying to balance it on the chair so it wouldn't fall, and people all around would be singing this song. This is the song. It's called Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after Thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Can we bow our heads for just a moment, church? Maybe this morning God is calling you to something. Maybe this morning God is calling you to forfeit your desires for His. Time to say, have Thine own way, Lord. Whatever you want, I want. Whatever you say, not what I say. God, wherever you lead, not what's comfortable for me. He must increase, but I must decrease. God, this morning is speaking to somebody. God this morning is speaking to somebody's heart. He's calling you to something bigger. Maybe you've been out of church for a while. Maybe your life, maybe if we asked for your story, you'd be the person that was in church and then out of church and then believed in God but then struggled to believe in God. And then, hey, you know what? You were there, but then you weren't there. And you had this. And maybe your story is just kind of a little roller coaster of faith. Hey, that's okay. Because this morning, you're here. God brought you to Coastline this morning for a purpose, for a reason. Thank you again for listening to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope the message was an encouragement to your heart. Please connect with us through our website, coastlinecc.org, or on Facebook or Instagram. Send us a message, send us an email, and we'd love to connect with you. We'd also love if you could visit us for a Sunday morning service. You can find our address on our website, and our services start at 10 a.m. Our mission at Coastline is simply this: to know Jesus deeply and to show Jesus daily. I hope that we've helped you do that in your life today. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.